You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Yeah, we are having a good time. Motivated, too, inside the Dog Bowl in Berea. Great to have all of you in touch. Matt Wilhelms here. I'm Michael Regei. Nathan Zagura will jump on in a little bit later on in the show. We're going to hear from Browns defensive coordinator Jim O'Neill coming up in this hour at about 1:45. And as we said, the Browns Roundtable presented by our good friends at the Blue Point Grill and Hospitality Restaurants will be rolling about 2 o'clock today. And, of course, then we got Fact or Fiction. But right now, it's time for all of you. Matt and I just laid out the table. We gave you some of our thoughts with our Ohio Business Machine Hot Topics of the Day matchup. The Browns have to be successful in to win on Sunday. And maybe the biggest key to the Browns getting off to a quick start. That could be a side of the ball, a unit, you know, so forth and so on. Let us start out by heading into the tri-state area, as it's known. We go to New Jersey and here's Chevy on Cleveland Browns Daily. What's going on, Chevy?
Hey, guys. What's going on? It's been a great show. Thank you.
Doing well, man. Thank you.
All right. I want to answer the question, but then after that, I'd like to make a statement. My answer to the question is the one-on-one matchups are each individual player visualizing the game plan and what they've learned each evening for at least an hour a night, and especially the night before the game.
Visualizing a game plan, huh?
I like that.
I gotta say, it's the first time we've got that kind of response, but I like it. I like it.
I do, and I think it's it comes with success, you know. And I will say this: if these players are doing it and they play well, it's something you want to do again, you know, and again and again and again. So I think it's. I don't know if they have a psychologist on staff here or a sports therapist, you know, that digs in. Oh, they do. Okay, great. And that digs into that type of stuff. But I would dig it. I never had it anywhere I was at, but it was something that I dove into that we did have at Ohio State.
Yeah.
And I loved it. You know, just the visualization of executing exactly what's asked upon you.
Exactly. Now, here's my statement I'd like to make. You know, Kyle Shanahan is 34. He's one of the hottest commodities in the NFL right now.
Sizzling hot, right, Chevy?
Yes.
But you touch him and you get burnt. You get scalded when you touch Shanahan, right?
Yeah, he's hot as a firecracker, and he's in the mecca of football. We've got Paul Brown, Don Shula, Woody Hayes, Chuck Noll, all from Ohio. All were
Stoops brothers.
Woody.
Bo Schembechler.
Yes.
Yeah. We go on and on and on and on.
Woody.
Yep.
And
yep.
He's here now. He really has to commit here long term, and he really has to finish the job. That's all I got. Thanks, guys.
Chevy, we appreciate it. And, yes, maybe no greater coaching carousel with success than we've had here in the state of Ohio and a lot of them right here in Northeast Ohio. But interesting point about Kyle Shanahan. And yesterday, and I'll get into this a little bit later on, but I had a chance, didn't record, just in the locker room, just one-on-one with Mitch Schwartz. Just sat down and chatted with Mitch for about 5 minutes. And when we got around to Kyle Shanahan and this offense and putting them in position to visualize being successful and then see it work, his face just lit up, Matty. I mean, Mitch's face just lit up with concert with his four others on that O-line, count the tight ends, you know. But what they've been able to accomplish and attributed a lot to Kyle Shanahan placing that kind of belief in them.
One note that I take from a my personal perspective on a similar situation is what Kyle Shanahan is doing, not even speaking about you know, the routes. I'm a huge advocate of how open these guys are and the scheme that Kyle Shanahan is putting together, so I'm not going to beat that dead horse, but I'm still a huge fan of that, and I look for that to continue. But he's not exposing. You know, this is an offense that we thought had a lot of weaknesses.
Yeah.
And those have not been exposed, you know, in a game, in a quarter of a game, or in the entirety of a football game.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that he puts these guys in situations to win one-on-one, to win because of their prep, understanding what coverage they're going to get in a certain down and distance, but also, too, he doesn't expose these offensive linemen to be in a one-on-one situation versus a top pass rusher or a blitz. And so they're truly working as a unit. And I think Kyle Shanahan and Brian Hoyer, Alex Mack and Will B. John Greco calling those fronts and identifying blitzers and coverages pre-snap has allowed this offense is a huge part of why this offense has flourished.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And I mean, you talk to the guys, like I said, I did yesterday. We talked to Brian Hoyer about it a little bit, as well as all of the media were interviewing Hoyer yesterday. So, and we'll get into that a little bit later on. Glad you're involved with our Ohio Business Machine hot topics of the day, like Chevy just was out of Jersey. Let's swing it back here to Northeast Ohio. Here's Don in Ashland. What's going on, Donald?
Hey, Mike and Matt, thanks for taking my call, guys. Love the show.
Always, thank you. Always. Thank you.
Hey, I got two things I want to talk about real fast here. The first one is I want to applaud Brian Hoyer for the way he's handled this controversy at the beginning of this week, and that he completely squashed it yesterday. And I think that even more solidifies him as the leader of the offense and the leader of this football team. And I really do believe that with what has gone on the first couple of days of this week, that he's even going to bring that team together even more, which is a great sign. And I just respect him so much for that as being our quarterback right now. The second thing I want to talk about with what you guys are saying, with what my keys to the game is, you were talking about Blake Bortles in this running game and that everybody compared him in this season to be the up-and-coming new Ben Roethlisberger. And what I noticed this last game against Pittsburgh, which what made our defense so great against him, is I saw what in about the second quarter or so that our linebackers, they were controlled rushes, whereas they weren't allowing Ben to get to the outside and they were forcing him to step into the pocket, and that allowed John Hughes and other defensive linemen to get those sacks. So I definitely think that that's definitely what they need to do this week against Blake Bortles, because he can run and he is a mobile quarterback. He's a big body guy. But if those guys and our linebackers can keep that controlled rush going, I do believe that we'll dominate this team again.
He makes a great point, and Nathan and I spoke about that before lunchtime before we jumped on air. And Blake Bortles is the second leading rusher on this football team with 16 rushes for 106 yards, and I think he might be a little bit of old Ben, but we saw how we limited Ben and what has killed us versus the Steelers for so long. But I think he has a very similar skill set, and he's a little bit of a bigger guy than the success of Jake Locker. Extending the play and breaking contain either to make that run pass read. I'm allowing my receivers to break open, to break away from man coverage or find a zone, or I'll get 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 yards and slide down and extend a drive. And I really do think that, and I would think that we would go back and study that Tennessee tape, study last week's game plan against Big Ben, which should still be very fresh in our head, but how we contain him, and if we don't allow him to do that and we force him to stand in a pocket, that we will collapse time and time again and force him to beat us with his arm, we will have a very, very, very good day.
Yeah, and Don, we appreciate the call. Matt, do you think, and Don did bring up a good point, because you can see it on the All-22 that we took a look at as Don was bringing out, do you think that with Bortles, who is prone, not again, he's a rookie, he's going through this for the first time, do you think that maybe the Browns might show some false looks in that, doing something a little bit different this week than they've put out on tape so far, out of maybe what looks like the Bortles, that same look?
Yes, I do. And the key word is the look. We line up and make it look like something.
Yeah.
But go back and play one of our most basic defenses behind that. Something that we've simplified defensively. We make it look like exotic. We make it look new. But we're just going to play what we play and what we're the best at and what we did against Big Ben last week.
Yeah.
And we did in the second half of Tennessee. So huge key is that disguise, those looks. Because if you're moving around and you're caught in a look or disguise, a quarterback can take advantage of that. But if you line up immediately and give him a look, and move directly into another coverage, it's like you get him thinking about something that's not his play,
right?
His receivers and his offense.
Yeah. Well, and theoretically, too, and again, you guys could jump in, 216-578-0850 as we kind of roll through some thinks it'll be symptomatic. And, you know, Matt's bringing out a lot of theory and philosophy here. But that will be symptomatic of our Ohio business machine hot topics of the day. Can the Browns get off to a strong start? They weren't able to do it on the road in Tennessee. Now, they rallied and won it. But again, you know, this is, you know, kind of playing with fire and really rolling the dice. These kind of starts that have been all too familiar at Pittsburgh and at Tennessee. So, and Matt, do you like the fact that, I mean, look, the Browns will tell you they play a 3-4 in principle. I really think it's got a lot of 4-3 conceptually to it. But do you like, because I do, and we'll see the Browns get in this a lot, when actually it's a, you know, pardon the technicality, but a lot of times the look is almost like a 2-4-5 or a 2-3-6, where in essence there's only a pair of down linemen, and usually they're inside guys on the football field with your sub packages in with an extra linebacker or two, and then you get that extra DB or two. Do you like that the Browns show that a lot, and how effective can that be?
It's very effective, and I played in a scheme like that with Dom Capers in Green Bay.
Okay.
It's a 3-4. Dom runs a 3-4 defense, but we spend 75% of our snaps in nickel or sub type packages. And you're absolutely right, and we may in fact lose a little bit of that because I thought Armonte Bryant was a key player in that hybrid. Have him standing up, you know, line him wide. He was very versatile, you know, where we may require three guys because, I don't know, Desmond Bryant is 40 pounds heavier. Yeah. You know, to ask him to do those types of things might limit us. So he's a key loss for us. But you're absolutely correct. Yes, we do. And I love the fact that and some of those might even just be a look.
Yeah, you know, like we were talking about a minute ago.
Their looks, it's
almost
just
to give him a false look.
Exactly, and I think as we grow in confidence and grow in identity, as we continue to scheme and grow defensively, we'll eventually have defenses and coverages behind those looks too, and also blitzes out of those looks. But I think in most cases, what it does, it's very similar to reference an offensive play to what we did with Manziel. We brought him on for two plays to set up something next week.
Right.
We brought him in to set up something down the road. We brought him in to force the defense to prepare. And so these looks that we're giving and playing basic defenses behind them or bringing basic fire, you know, zone pressures off of them forces the defensive coordinator or offensive coordinator to teach those looks and what to expect out of those looks, and we continue to grow confidence. We continue to grow those looks, and also, too, what we do out of those looks as well.
Yeah, see, I wanted to bring it up.
The complexity of a defense truly grows.
Sure, the sweet way you broke it down, because I think we started to see some of that last Sunday against the Pittsburgh Steelers and what they want to be going forward. Let's get Mike in here from Akron, all right? Let's get Mike in here to finish out this segment. Michael, how you doing today? Welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty 4.
Great guy, my man.
You know, what's happening?
Hey, you know, man, you've seen the vibe on the way we think, but this is what I think. I'm going to give you two numbers, 57 and 10. I just want to see those two numbers increase because that's what the Browns have done over the last six quarters. Offense has put up 57 points. Defense has only given up 10.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see going forward, those numbers getting bigger and increasing where the offense is scoring points and the defense is not giving up that many.
I like where you're at.
Nothing better than that, man.
Yeah, I like where you're at. And when I see 67 to 10, you know the first word that pops into my head? Dominance. Mm-hmm. Dominance offensively.
Dominance.
And dominance on defense.
Exactly. And that's what I want to see. And I want to see Shanahan at times give Hoyer a little more control of that offense with that no huddle. Because it seems to me like Hoyer knows what he's doing based on what he's seeing out there on the field, who's going to be open and where I'm going with that football. And I think sometimes we catch guys off guard with that because now we're doing things based on the field and not just on somebody's tendencies because I got you on the field. I know who can beat who, where I can get you open at. And that's why I think if y'all look at Hoyer and that no huddle, look how successful he is every time he runs it.
Yeah, now, Mike, I like that aspect you're bringing out, and I think you're spot on. And that's, again, we'll get into it a little bit later on. I asked Brian, I was with Mitch Schwartz, just he and I, but then when Brian got there, of course, it was his regular media chat and session. yesterday, but I asked him a couple of questions that that we'll bring out. But it deals with some of the things that Mike was discussing with regard to this vibe, this feel, this growing confidence and trust that's taking place with he and Kyle Shanahan. And Brian had some interesting responses about that. All right, let's get a timeout. We will get back with you very quickly right on the other side. Matt Wilhelms here. Michael Regai, you're locked in with Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura will join us a little bit later on. We've got a lot to do. You've given us a very, very ample beginning. Let's keep it rolling. We're back with more in a moment.